Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
More like ball and scroats, am I right, fellas?
Yeah.
Private eyes are watching you.
Wait, well, you didn't gotta do it right.
Private eyes are watching you.
Gotta love me some yacht rock.
Yacht rock.
You never heard of yacht rock before?
Is that like a sidestep to dad rock?
It's a little bit like the dad rock. Yacht rock is that kind of like rock and roll of the late 70s, early 80s that was like really, it's really Wienerish. Like it's like Hall and Oates style, like rock and roll.
Like if you saw a guy like blasting it and like in his car, you'd be like, that guy's a wiener.
Yeah, a little bit. But however, it's taken on like a life of its own. Like it's.
Is that kind of like Michael McDonald as well? Like,
yes, very much.
A wise man has the power.
Okay. I'm pulling up the ten
commandments. Ain't no stopping us now.
Oh, so like, baby, come back.
Right. All right.
Or Kenny Loggins, this is it.
Okay.
Oh. This is it.
Michael McDonald, yeah. Toto, Rosanna, one of my favorite songs of all time, as I said on this podcast before. Kiss on My List by Hall & Oates.
Your kiss is on my list. Your kiss is on my list.
Yeah. The Doobie Brothers, yeah. What a Fool Believes.
Yes. Nice.
Steely. Yeah. See, you really like yacht rock. You, of all people, really like yacht rock. Steely Dan.
Okay, forget it. I don't love anymore.
Christopher Cross sailing.
Sailing away.
Yo, you know that one.
That song.
Christopher Cross, I also believe, did.
I know I'm sailing.
That sticks away. Not quite the same. No, Christopher Cross also did. I could be wrong on this one, but he also did.
If you get lost between the moon and New York City,
Arthur's song, I think is what it is.
No, I don't know.
No, you know Arthur's song.
I don't know, man.
You are a bigger yacht rock fan than you even know. Like you're a fan of yacht rock, and you had no idea that yacht rock even existed.
That's fair.
I don't. It's like a Southern California style, like. Easy listening rock and roll that like you don't appreciate
until, cracks me up
until you get to your like mid-30s to like early 40s and you're just like, yeah man, just sailing away.
It's funny.
It is really funny. And it's just kind of like it's like you want to drink like a Corona while sitting on your back porch, like that type of rock and roll.
Me bring more margaritas.
Yeah, maybe not margaritas, but it's definitely like
mimosas.
Yes, mimosas for
mimosas.
Sure. It's a light alcohol content. Like, I'm gonna get drunk all morning while the weather's really pleasant.
A mimosa and a cigar.
Eh, no cigars.
No cigars. How can you not have a cigar on a yacht?
Well, I mean, if you're on a yacht, maybe. If you're on a yacht, you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Open with nothing underneath, though.
Oh, yes, of course.
With little.
And your gut is just glistening in the sun.
Oh, that's me normally. And it's got, I got like the booty shorts, like not like swim trunks.
Yeah.
But like the short.
Yeah, they're like,
shorts.
They're
almost
sheer.
Speedo-esque.
Yeah, they're sheer.
Yes. But not Speedos.
Yeah.
Speedo-esque.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They're short. They're shortcut. It's a shortcut, not a Speedo cut.
Anyway, welcome to Sailing Away, the Yacht Rock Discussion Podcast. I'm your host,
Hold
Joe.
Me a fool, please. Boys, man, here's the power. Boom, boom, boom.
And with me as always is
Michael McDonald.
Is Steely Steve, the yacht rock
thank
expert.
Thank you for having me on the cast.
He's on the cast. Yeah. Welcome to Game Classy. As always, I'm your host, Joe. And with me is my co-host, Steve.
Hello, 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 hello.
Today we are going to be discussing Steve's epic boner for the undead Tyranids.
The Dr. T and the women fan fiction?
Yes, Dr. T and the women fan fiction. Which, by the way, if you guys have been listening to the podcast long enough, I said, you don't like Robert Altman. We've gone over this on the podcast. And he goes, who's Robert Altman? I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. We've gone over this so
That's
many
what
times.
I said. He's the guy who sings Addicted to Love.
He's the guy that directed Popeye.
Yar. I like Popeye.
I know. You've said that every time I've mentioned Robert Altman.
I like Shelley Duvall.
This podcast. She went crazy.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, poor woman. Shelley Duvall is the epitome of like attractive people in the 70s where you're just like, what? Why was this attractive in the 1970s? Well, technically 60s, 70s.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty cute pictures of Shelley
Duvall. I mean,
Duvall.
She's cute, Don't get me wrong, but is she cute because Hollywood has dictated that she was cute in the 70s, so now we've carried that over into this time period? Like, it's just been in the national zeitgeist that long. Like Robert Altman changed the way that we view cuteness based upon Shelley Duvall. This is what I've been thinking of.
I don't know about that. I think that she's cute.
And as I said, is she cute because she is cute, or is it because she was dictated as being cute?
Well, I mean, society dictates what's cute. I know. So, but, I mean, yes. Anyone who is cute is being dictated as being cute.
I know.
Yes.
I feel like she is like a, has been, Shelley Duvall has been forced upon us.
What do you got against Shelley Duvall?
She's a really crazy looking woman.
I think she's cute. There's some really good pictures of her from early 70s.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they could make me and you look very attractive if we were the... Listen, Steve.
I don't know about that.
If we traveled back in time, we would be the two most attractive people on this planet. You know why? Because our fingers wouldn't be stained with nicotine. Yeah, and we wouldn't be sweating through our polyester suits. Though, I would really like a polyester suit. But that's besides the point.
So then as you'd put the suit on, your like hands would just turn orange.
Orange, yeah. I want lapels so big that they go past my shoulders. That's how big I want my lapels to be.
I just want a leisure suit.
Exactly, yeah. I want a speed suit.
Like he was a giant, bulging man wearing a leisure suit.
Exactly. So I guess we'll go off with the lead story in that they finally released the new Death faction for Age of Sigmar.
Yes, well, previewed it. That's not out yet as far as
I know. They just but it's more than just a preview. I mean, they kind of spoiled the whole thing.
There's been many things revealed.
Yes,
the giant alligator monster.
Yeah, what are they called? They're like the soul harvesters.
I don't know. They're just giant alligator monster. Yeah, that's what it's called, giant alligator monster. Also, in one of the pictures, they showed a variant of those bone warriors. With giant shields and headdresses, and they look way cooler than the previous ones. Yeah.
These guys are
those will probably be the worse rules because they look cooler.
In pulling them up, they are the Asiarch Bone Reapers.
Bone Reaper!
Also known as the Undead Tyranids. Because
just that one model.
They all look very Tyranid-esque. Mm.
I'll give you that one model that looks very much like a warrior, but the other one's nah.
Yes. So, Rob Hawkins. You know Rob Hawkins, right?
Yes. That's the Rob Hawkins Hockey Blog. It's hard to say fast.
The Rob Hawkins Hobby Blog?
Yes.
It is really hard to say the Rob Hawkins Hobby Blog.
See?
Yeah.
It's fucking hard.
Rob Hawkins, reconsider the name of your hobby blog.
Come on. It's Bush League.
It's Bush League. He's a huge undead fan, and he has a beautiful...
vampire counts.
Square-based vampire counts army. I am not ashamed to admit I'm a bit jealous of its size and girth.
Are you jealous of the fact that it's still on square bases?
I'm almost 90% of my shit's still on square bases.
Weirdo.
No, I'm just jealous at the fact that he's able to commit to just like two armies as opposed to me, who's like, I'm gonna do this. No, I'm gonna do this. No, I'm gonna do this. But yeah, he has like a beautiful Skaven army and a Vampire Counts army. But he put up a really interesting bit when he was like, I was looking at the Rob Hawkins hobby blog. And they had a bunch of, he did a bunch of pictures from the previews of like, if they put up these previews, like he took the little square of a picture and he turned it black and white, like just like how Games Workshop previews it.
Yes.
He's like, and he took the squares. He's like, if you saw this, you would think 99% that this was Tyranids. In fact, so much so that one of these pictures was an actual Tyranid and you didn't know the fucking difference. And I was laughing at that. I was like, ha ha.
I mean, I guess like they're very bony, and some of the Tyranid models are very bony. And
they're chitinous.
Yes,
chitinous.
They've got a lot of chitin.
But Steve is really on top of it. We were like, are they Tomb Kings? What's going on?
No.
With these?
Yes. Maybe. No, kind of. Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. And then they
the
drop.
Answer is eh.
Yeah. So they drop them, and they are constructs. Like we had been talking about doing an all construct army.
Yes.
They did all constructs with like souls inside of them. Some of the pieces kind of look better than others.
Oh, for sure.
They have those.
I said I'm torn. Like I'm not a complete like, oh no, man, this whole range
now
is great.
That's Natalie Imbruglia. That's easy listening rock from the late and from the early 90s. We can't get into that now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm so sad I'm torn. But they got the forearm guys who have like multiple heads.
Yes. I've seen two different versions of them. One of them does not have the multiple heads.
The one
without the multiple heads looks very cool. The Manny faces, I'm not really sold.
You know what I'm mad about with that one is that they didn't have
they're not all jacked and they don't just look like Manny faces.
I wanted one of the characters to be a giant head with multiple faces on it, like the quintessence from the Transformers.
That would be cool.
Just like a big head
on wheels.
It might be with the terrain. We still haven't seen all of the terrain.
You know, you can get there's some pretty cheap Halloween skull accoutrement. You could just buy a few and make your own.
Yeah. But I mean, mm-hmm. I would just say I have like the quintessence. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a quintessence. Yeah. But it's only got three, so it's not really a quintessence.
Put it on your display board.
The triessence, I guess.
Well, isn't there one facing up?
One of the heads that is facing
up? Yeah. I thought it was three heads, and then there was one facing up or down.
There's actually one on the crotch.
Well, I mean, yes.
The crotch face.
The crotch face.
He's going to get up there. He's going to bite your junk.
You ever seen a burger that can take a bite out of you? Wow, this burger just took a bite out of me.
One of their special moves is crotch bite. But actually, those forearm guys, I believe there's a special rule where like you can switch combat, like their combat styles in the middle of per turn. Like once per turn, switch up. So they can be defensive and offensive. Reminds me a lot of the old War Dancer rules. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. A lot of rules, but you know, whatever. It's a brand new faction. They're going to put up a bunch of shit for it. You're going to see them, I guess they're going to be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. So they don't look cool enough to make me immediately sell all of my Nurgle models.
Yeah. I mean, if they were cool enough for you, this is what I recommend, because you have so much Nurgle stuff. I would just do a small 2,000-point army of them, because you probably won't need that many to do a 2,000-point army.
No. Like I said, my plan with that army is something I've never done before. I'm actually going to just proxy out a few lists and play some games with no models. Like, just I'm going to play some games with bases.
Are you going to play some Paper Hammer?
I'm going to play some Paper Hammer, and I'm going to make a list, and I'm going to just build that list.
Okay. Well, I mean, It's nice in theory, but you know that after the General's Compendium 2020 comes out and they change the points, you're like, God damn it!
Well, I mean, there's when you do that, I've always told, like, when I was guiding people to do this path, what you do is you build an army that's over your points. So you build like a 2,500 point list for a 2,000 point game, like, and then you have a little bit of jiggle. Yes, a little bit of jiggle room, if you will.
A little bit of jiggle room.
Also, plus, I mean, I'm gonna
bit of jiggle room.
Depending on how the army's summoning works, I might have to do more than.
It's true if they do have summoning,
because
they are undead.
They might do summoning, like classic summoning, or they might do recursion, or they might do grow. Because you don't know, because there's different versions of summoning that have existed in Warhammer. Because there's the original Vampire Count style where you could like take a 10-man skeleton unit and your necromancers could just keep adding models to it.
Yes,
that's been kind of done away with in Age of Sigmar, so I don't expect that. But this could either be like I'm summoning new units while we're playing, or my units come back. Because yeah. Units come back.
Back to Yacht
Rock. Can put them on the table.
Units come back. Yeah, and they got a couple characters like the weird Shogun guy.
The Shogun. Yeah, that guy's dope.
He's the Shogun.
Well, his spells were that powerful enough to save you, Shogun.
He's totally got a fucking like high priest with him.
He does. He's the immortal katana undead guy.
Yep, there's a katana guy.
Yeah,
I like that. There's that model's just like a crazy vignette. There's just like a whole bunch of shit going on.
It's like there's a whole story going on there. Yeah, you're like
a bunch of stuff.
They just threw a bunch of
shit.
They're
like talking. Yeah. Some guy's showing him a scroll.
Yeah, and they're writing weird bone amalgamations. Like so, there's like a rhino skull, and which is pretty cool. I guess.
That rhino rider's pretty neat.
Rhino riders.
He's not as cool as a dino rider, but
no, that's
he's pretty cool.
God, why did they do undead dinosaurs?
You know, they missed it. This was their chance.
they blew it.
They blew it. No undead dinosaurs. Although, technically, that big alligator thing. It's kind of an undead dinosaur.
Yeah. He's just like a big old fat guy.
Yeah, we'll give it to that guy. Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, oh, he's so cool. And all I just see is like when I see that model, I'm just like, it's like, how is he? Is he flying? Is he like
can't really
floating?
Be fat if you're just bones.
No, but he's a fat. He's big boned.
There you go. He's big boned.
He's big boned. He's full of skulls. They're gonna. He's just bone stuffed.
He's just chock-a-full of skulls.
He's chock-a-full of skulls. That's one of his special roles, chocked full of skulls. But yeah,
back to the skull tank.
Well, yes. We'll get, and that's what the fucking screaming skull catapult they brought
the skull tank.
I was like, that's a thing right there. I don't.
Yeah, I don't want to build. I hope that thing's rules are bad because I do not want to build or paint it.
I'm just surprised.
It's like a nightmare.
I'm surprised it's just one. I'm wondering if it's gonna be if there's multiple things you could do with that kit. I'm very surprised.
It's fucking huge.
It is.
It's really big.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle choice.
That's a lifestyle choice to put one of those on the table. Like, you can't even just carry that in a case.
No,
like,
it's huge.
Like, that's a case unto itself.
Yeah, it's gonna be its own. It's gonna be a cardboard box by itself.
And you know that there's some asshole who's gonna be running three of them in the fucking army.
Who knows?
This 150 point fucking model, $150 model.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of high point cost, we got Gotrek coming out now with his busted rules.
I think Gotrek's really good.
He is, but
he's a lot of points, but I think he's very good. I think you basically just pair him with things that increase his movement speed, so like the cogs or anything that any of those spells that let him like charge or run during during magic.
He's still gonna get shot the shit though.
And heal him. Yeah. Well, his only weakness is mass shooting, which is uncommon. So you just need something to shore that up. His saves are pretty ridiculous.
Not with the new Cities of Sigmar book.
Well, I'm just saying.
They got all those handgunners
out there. His saves are still pretty good.
Yeah, he's got a 4-up armor and a 3-up ward, or vice versa, one of the two.
It's 4-3. You give him the Mystic Shield, so he rolls ones to save and just get his ass moving
fast.
Can
you give him the... Oh, yeah, that's the spell, yeah.
Yeah, the only thing you can't cast... He can't be put in reserve ever.
Yeah.
So you can't cast any of the like take this model off the board and put it somewhere else spells. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot cast those on him. They don't work. So you can only cast things that actually improve his movement characteristic.
Or his save.
Or you can do something that like lets him move.
He does so much damage.
His damage is ridiculous.
Six and a possibility of 18 attacks or something like that, or 18 wounds.
Well, because he rerolls misses to hit and wound.
Yes.
And then every unmodified 6 to hit is D6 mortal wounds.
I know, it's so busted.
Absolutely absurd.
Absolutely
so
absurd.
So much damage.
Yeah,
that model is...
I mean, it's 550 points, so it's a quarter of your army in most cases.
Yeah, for a man-sized model.
For a man-sized model.
For a man-sized model.
He's a dwarden.
With no spells, but...
You mean he's a dwarden.
But I think he's really good. I think there's gonna be the Gotrek bomb is gonna be a list where you just like you bet it all on him.
You bet it all on Gotrek.
Yeah. you're just like everything in my army is based around moving Gotrek faster.
It's not a bad plan.
He's very good with healing. Like he's very hard to kill already. And
well, he's got 8 wounds, and as we say, he's 4-3 with. And if you could throw a Mystic Shield on him,
also can't take more. Like he only ever takes one wound. And if something would outright kill him, he takes one wound instead.
Yeah.
So Hand of Dust does a wound to him.
That's and multiple wounds. I was like, oh no, this does D33 wounds.
Nah,
that's one. I would let my opponent roll all of the dice first. It's like, okay, that does one wound.
One. Wait, no, actually, I gotta take a save, and the one wound it was going to do saved.
Saved. Well, that's right, because he can still save on the mortal wounds as well. Nice.
Yeah, he's gonna be very strong. I think he's a very good model.
The Gotrek bomb. I have a Gotrek model already for my dwarf army. I might throw him in there, run him as Gotrek for a while when I do my Cities of Sigmar list, because I am a degenerate who can't not play Empire when it comes out. Empire and Wood Elves are my two
poofy sleeves.
It's the poofy sleeves for 100%.
Yeah.
I know we didn't talk about this on the last cast, and I kind of wanted to, but with the Cities of Sigmar, they've gotten rid of so much stuff, and it's actually kind of funny because I saw some guy online and he was like, I picked up this cannon for the upcoming Cities of Sigmar book. And I'm like, oh, you poor child.
You sweet summer child.
You think that they're going to leave that cannon inside the list?
No. I think they're going to do a new cannon.
I would hope so, but no, I think because I think the only artillery they're keeping are the Hellstorm and the Hellblaster.
Well, oh, the goofy ones?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And because they got rid of all the dwarf artillery. All the dwarf artillery is gone. So the only technical... like Ironweld Arsenal stuff that's still around are the gyrocopter, steam tank, Hellblaster, and Hellstorm.
Oh, you know they're gonna bring back the stank.
Oh yeah, that's one of the boxes that they didn't get rid of for the. They got rid of like the Empire archers, so they're out of the list. And a lot of stuff had been taken off the shelves beforehand, like the Empire Canon, the Empire Knights.
That's okay. I hate that Canon model. It needs to go away.
It's I like the Canon model, but it's old as shit.
Yeah.
And does not need to be inside the current range. And they got rid of almost 90% of the High Elf. I'm still surprised they got rid of the Dragon Knights and the Dragon Rider. The big fucking High Elf Dragon.
It's going to be Footman.
It's not even that. It's just going to be Phoenix Guard, the Phoenix.
Yeah, Footman.
And, the Frost, the Phoenix, the Flamespire Phoenix.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Shadow Warriors. Those are the only ones that are still going to have any sort of representation of the High Elves inside this army.
I was speculating that I think there's going to be a new box that is made of old sprues, and it's going to be a mixed unit.
That's interesting.
Like you have like a unit. It's like the box is like 10 Empiremen, 10 elves, and 10 dwarves in one unit, and it's like a mixed, like a militia.
That's thinking way outside the box. That will never ever happen. I appreciate you thinking that, but it's never going to happen.
I was trying to think of a cost saving measure to create a new unit and reuse some sprues that I already, like if I was GW, I want to reuse some sprues I already have, create a new unit. How would I do that? Discontinue all these individual things, put them together in one multi-box.
Well, I think that's what they're going to do is that it's not necessarily... What I'm thinking is that it's not going to be like great swords, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a unit that's two-handed weapons. Like, they might call it great swords, but they're going to say like... So Lothurn Seaguard could be that.
Oh, okay.
The Empire great swords could be that. The dwarves with great weapons could be that. Whatever it is could be that unit so that you could still recycle them back into your army if you so chose... Mm.
Maybe.
Did you watch Dark Crystal?
No.
Age of Resistance?
I have not. Is it good?
You have not watched it yet? I thought you'd be on top of that.
Hey.
Too busy watching Carnival Row?
No, but someone was talking to me about Carnival Row.
Carnival Row.
Orlando Bloom's in it.
Yeah, and Cara Delevingne. So let me talk about Dark Crystal first. Dark Crystal is as high fantasy as you could possibly go. Like, almost to the point of, like, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow the fuck down. Slow your fucking roll. This is it's a little much at this point. I'm only 4 episodes in because I'm watching it with my daughter and we don't have a ton of time to watch it because she's got homework. Lame. But yeah, it's really beautiful though. It's the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen on television, just to the point of like they did a really good job.
All right.
And if you were you a fan of the original Dark Crystal?
I very much liked it when I was a kid.
Yeah. The voices are all pretty good. What's his face? Simon Pegg does the voice of the Chamberlain. Does it?
Oh, nice.
Like it's pretty on point.
So what is
at least
is
from what
a,
I remember?
Is it a prequel?
It's a prequel. I'm still trying to figure out how it loops into the original Dark. I'm sure it a little bit later you get a little bit more about it. But it's about like a Gelfling resistance. Gelflings.
Do they suck the souls out of those cute little Muppets?
Yeah, they did that once and so forth. Not out of the podlings, but close to.
Gave me a strange feeling in my pants.
The podlings. They're like speaking like a weird version of Italian. They're like, hey, la mamma mia.
Yeah.
But
suck their souls out.
Suck their souls out. The voice acting is...
No, their souls is like they're like life essence because they're like zombos after they're done. Yeah. They're not dead.
There's something going on there.
Cursed life.
But yeah, everything is really pretty on there. And I say it's very, very high fantasy. Like every fantasy novel you ever read, it's like the beginning of every fantasy novel you ever read where it's like, oh, this guy believes in the cause of the Skeksis. And then, oh no, he sees the Skeksis are evil. So now he forms his resistance against them and blah, 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 blah. Really cool that way. I like that they really differentiate. There's like Gelfling clans, like you come from this clan or this clan, and the clans hate each other because of internal racism. I'm really impressed with the world that they've built. It's all world building in the first few episodes that I watch, and it's really well done. All
right.
And as I say, the puppetry, of course, is the main reason. If you're like a fan of puppetry, like
I do like puppets,
like true Henson style puppet school way of doing things, perfect for that. The story-wise, I can't really comment too much on it because I've only watched... I haven't even got through half of the episodes. I think it's 10 episodes, but whatever. I'm on 4 out of the 10.
I'm eagerly anticipating Disenchanted Part 2.
Yeah, that's coming up. It looks pretty good. I think it looks a little bit better than the first season. At least from the trailer that I saw. I rewatched the first season, and I saw some of the comments that people had. Not about the story, but about some of the production value of it. And it hit me hard once I realized what it was. And I was like, ugh! I didn't even notice that the first time I watched it. So if you watch it, there's no ambient noise in the background. So like in Futurama, if you watch it, like those crowd scenes or something like that, there's ambient noise, which helps you immerse yourself into the world. In Disenchanted, there's none of that. So then you're kind of like, it's like almost like you feel like you're like in a null void. Like weird. When you watch the show, it's weird. I can't describe it accurately enough, but I was like, whoa. I mean, it didn't really affect the show too much, but it was just like, once I didn't hear it, I could never hear it. So as weird as that sounds. And then,
oh my gosh, I was wrong.
And then Carnival Row is on Amazon right now. Carnival Row is the Orlando Bloom, Cara Delevingne. Also, not quite high fantasy, urban fantasy.
Yeah, it's like fairies, but it's like the 1800s or some shit.
Yeah, it's like very, it's like steampunk, but like
some stunk.
It's steampunk, but there's no steam. It's like
finally
fairy steam fairy punk, I guess. But yeah, it's like it's a Victorian era
Victoria punk.
Victoria punk.
Victoriana.
Victoria. It's Victoriana is a good way of putting it. But everyone's got big mutton chops, you know.
Oh, I do like that.
It's the mutton chop killer.
I do like that.
He
only kills men with mutton chops. Like every dude in the room's like,
exactly.
We've got a pattern. He only kills men with mutton chops.
The first
will narrow it down.
The first episode is literally, he's like, he described, the killer was described as being in uniform and having mutton chops. I'm like, well, that's the entire fucking nation. But it's not London. It's like this fictional. It's very fictional. It's very high fantasy in the fact that there's no real world allegory to it.
I see.
So, like, there's this island.
So, it's basically a post-Brexit UK.
Hey! Bojo! But the, did you hear that in the season 3 of The Queen, or whatever, Margaret Thatcher is going to be played by Gillian Anderson?
What the fuck are they doing?
I don't know, but I'm interested to see the way they portray her heart as being nothing but a lump of coal.
They'll also need to make Gillian Anderson a lot less attractive.
Yes. I was reading an article about this is weird UK politics for everyone, but I was reading an article about how the Queen of England used to make fun of Margaret Thatcher's accent, which made me laugh kind of hard because I could see the Queen going like, "Ooh, I'm Margaret Thatcher."
That's kind of awesome.
Yes, and once again, Margaret Thatcher has no heart. Oh no, she does have a heart. It's just a lump of coal.
It's just shriveled and black.
Yeah. It's a lump of coal that was not mined by the Union. It was the last lump of coal that was mined before they shut down the coal mines. Oh, man. I learned a lot from 80s independent movies about UK. Her blood is also the milk that she stole from the children.
Oh, you know, I've been watching, I watched a bunch of movies this weekend. Yeah. That's why I've been watching shows.
Let me finish with the Carnival Row. So the Carnival Row is a fictional land called Burrow. And then there's like there was a fairy island that there was a war over between the Buronese. I don't know what they're to, and the Pact. And the Pact looked like all like Turkish soldiers. So you could see that there's a lot of like brown skinned men are bad.
Yes,
going
course.
On there because they got like dervishes and oh no, like a fezes on when they're attacking and everything like that. But it's all about like how the fairies are this underclass. And it's very, very political, which is fine, because it's kind of based off true, and it's like the allegory is true. It's not like anyone's like, no, all of the immigrants in London in the 18th century were treated very well. Like, no, they weren't. Like, it's like, why are they doing this just because we hate immigrants? Like, yes, that's the reason why they're doing this, is because you hate immigrants, you horrible fuck. But I mean, it's not even the UK. It's also America, and it's everywhere else. But it's I've only seen like two episodes of that one because I'm watching that with my wife. Very high fantasy. I shouldn't say high fantasy, but it's very fantasy-esque. One of the cool things that I found out about it is that the fairies' version of Jesus was not hung on a cross. He was hanged by a noose. So they make like the sign of the noose instead of the sign of the cross. It's like a very like weird pointed deviation, cool world-building thing that they added into there.
The fairies believe in Jesus?
Yeah, it's fairy Jesus. Dude, fucking Narnians believed in Jesus. He was a lion.
He wasn't. No, that wasn't Jesus. That was Aslan.
No, Aslan was Jesus.
No, Aslan was Aslan.
No, Aslan was Jesus.
Aslan was not Jesus.
Want to bet?
Lewis Carroll specifically said he's not Jesus. He's Aslan.
No, he's Jesus. He's the Jesus line. He was killed. He came back.
Not Lewis Carroll. What's his fucking name?
I know what you're talking about.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, yes.
C.S. Godot.
C.S. Godot. then Aslan would have been wearing Terminator armor and doing backflips.
Sweet.
All right, so what were you watching?
Movies. I watched Ma. Yeah, it's called Ma.
Was it about me yelling about the meatloaf?
Ma! No. It's a
meatloaf. Fuck.
It's like a quasi revenge psycho killer slasher movie. It was okay.
Psycho killer.
I gave it a C.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Then I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters, which I really liked. Godzilla. And then I watched Brightburn.
Brightburn. I've not been able to bring myself to watch Brightburn.
Brightburn's good.
A lot of people like it. I get the dark Superman allegory at this point. Like, yes, I get it. Superman would be a fucking...
It's just a horror movie.
I know.
The thing is, one of the like jerking myself off, I'm a fancy film critic, critiques about the movie was just like, it didn't really go deep into the supposed metaphysical ethical question. You dildo, it's a fucking horror movie. Like, it's not, it's actually a straight up no bones, like, the movie is like, yes, there is it's about Superman, if bad, yeah, like at the core level.
Yeah.
But it's just a horror movie. Like the monster in this case is fucking Superman, which is goddamn terrifying. Like,
see, to me, the true monster in the Superman origin is the fact that he was raised in Kansas.
Well, I mean, this is the same here. He was raised in Kansas. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
makes sense.
That's always been my thing, is like back in the 1950s, Kansas was like the center of Americana, like the good earth, right? And then nowadays it's like, oh no, he would just be an insane racist homophobe who was secretly gay.
Or meth addicted.
Or meth addicted as well, true. Yeah. Meth addicted Superman would be a great fucking story.
Super meth.
Super meth. I don't know. For some odd reason, all of our Sudafed just disappeared outside of the store.
Sudafed's gone.
It's gone. It's like we didn't even get an ID for it. It's just disappeared.
This is gone.
But yeah, did you watch The Boys?
I did not watch The Boys.
The Boys was good.
I haven't pirated it yet.
I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. Not. If I have talked about this on the podcast,
I
read
The Boys.
Yeah, it's.
I didn't finish it, but I read most of The Boys.
I think that my one problem is because I read The Boys. I never finished it, just like you did. But I did read the first few trades of it, in that I feel like the show does a disservice by making you feel bad for the Supes.
Yeah, you should never feel bad
for
the Supes.
You should never feel fucking bad. Ever. Except for the one.
Well, I take that back. There's like the Supes, who are like the known like characters. Yeah. You shouldn't feel bad for them. They're assholes. Mm-hmm. And then there's the young, naive like kids who are like, yeah, superheroes. You can kind of feel bad for them.
Not really, because it's all about the fact that they were born as superheroes. So they don't get a choice in being good. Like, they think that they deserve everything because they're born this way.
Well, and I don't know about the...
And it's a modern...
That's also different because in... Well, oh, that's right. Because I know one of the biggest changes that they did from the show to the comic is that in the comic, all the superheroes are artificially made.
Well, no, it's in the show as well.
Oh,
They have their powers at birth.
Okay.
So it's like they feel like they are...
Because they never had their powers at birth in the comic.
Well, I mean, they're treated when they're born to be... You know, superheroes, like when they're in utero.
They get juiced.
But sorry for the little bit of spoiler there, guys. But the fact is that even if they are that, they feel like they're they're better than everyone else because they're superheroes. And it's just an allegory for rich kids, you know, the kids who are born into wealth.
I can't imagine that there's as much there's any asteroid fucking, though.
There might be. There might be. I love Garth Ennis, but man, does Garth Ennis not age well. Garth Ennis he's very sophomoric in his humor. And you're like, this is really funny when I'm 20. I'm 37. I'm 38 at this point. This is just kind of childish. It's like, I get it, but...
Yeah, it's completely over-the-top nonsense.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're kind of like...
I mean, does anyone say Garth Ennis is like a fucking transcendent, like, incredible
lots
writer?
Lots of people do.
I mean...
Lots of people do, but they're also big fans of Jordan Peterson. But that's not necessarily true, but it's pretty close.
I mean, I like the man did Preacher. Preacher's really good.
Preacher does not age well.
Preacher's real good.
There's some of the moral messaging in Preacher is great. However, some of the dialogue is very homophobic. Like, it's 90s homophobic, so you could say it's a product of its time. But at the same time, it's kind of
But I mean, nothing ages well.
This does not age well.
Nothing ages well.
Some stuff ages well.
There's the only things that age well are things that kind of like always age well are things that don't have any tether to our actual world.
So
Star Wars, like the original trilogy of Star Wars can never. Like, it can be hokey or whatever, but the story will never age because it's not about us.
I agree. I say so, but it's like
you watch any movie from the 50s, and it's just like, ooh.
there was a huge culture shift that has occurred within the last 15 years that has dramatically changed us so that
it's because this country's being run by soy boy cucks.
Yes, very much so, and white men can't handle it. But I mean, it's just like the fact that you're upset. Like, I went back and rewatched and reread Preacher, and I was like, there were some parts where I legit went, this is not.
Oh, it's just like, I mean, people like forget fucking Spawn's villain Chapel had like gay AIDS. It was like specifically gay AIDS.
Yeah.
They made that character gay and he had AIDS.
Yeah.
Gay AIDS, because only the gays get AIDS.
I'm not saying Spawn aged well either.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, nothing ages well because it's just like nothing that is contemporary ever ages well.
No.
The only time it can age well is if it was contemporary from so long ago, it doesn't matter. Like, if you read something that was written, I don't know, in like 1815, that might age well because it's so far removed from our reality, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yes.
Minus things like Lovecraft, where a guy exclaims, "Good Lord, Johansson, I've found a Negro egg." Like, that's never going to age well.
Things do not age well.
Yeah, if it's contemporary, it's not gonna age well.
It's still not an excuse though.
It's not. There's nothing about an excuse. It's just a fact. Yeah. It's like, it's not saying that like, oh, it's not gonna.
Also think some things age better than others.
I agree. Like there, but it all depends on what it is. Like, I watched Scary Movie 2.
Yeah.
The other day.
Oh, Scary Movie 2's got some bad stuff.
Scary Movie 2, pretty bad, but it was still fun. But the thing that was the most wild about Scary Movie 2 is, like, it's a goddamn time capsule because so many of the jokes...
Oh, yeah.
So many of the jokes are very specifically, like, we're making this joke because this is currently happening, contemporary, like, humor thing. And it's just like, huh. It's like I only know that because I remember that from when I was... Yeah, because I was very young when that happened. But if I were watching this, like, having never seen it, I'd just be like, what?
Yeah. I've been kind of scared lately because I've been like looking at things through contemporary eyes. I've been scared about
you're going, not going to have a good time about anything.
I know. I've been scared about going back to some of my favorite '90s movies like American Pie.
You're
going to
have a bad fucking time.
I mean, like, so many date rape stuff.
Speaking of things that don't age well, you're about to have a bad time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I haven't been aging well either, so let's just put it that way. All right, let's get back to some gaming stuff. Aeronautical Imperialis dropped. I don't know why Games Workshop decided to make Aeronautica Imperialis.
People must have been clamoring for it. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I never heard a single clamor, let alone clamoring.
Really like planes.
I mean, like, that's the only reason I would buy the fucking game is just to go... And the fact that they would release Aeronautica Imperialis without linking it into Adeptus Mechanicus is weird to me. Like, why would you release two separate games like that when you could have...
This is a board game. I don't fucking know, man.
Well, you're supposed to know.
Look, I don't like it.
Finger, pulse.
I don't know because I don't like it. I saw it, I was like, plane game, and I immediately stopped looking. Yeah. that's a thing where, like, I'm, like, looking at the White Dwarf, and I go, I, like, see how many pages are in Aeronautica Imperialis and just flip through all...
Rip them out and throw them away.
No, just flip the whole chunk over. It's like it's 8 pages. Skip those 8 pages and next thing.
Well, you see, we changed the mechanics so that when you...
faster.
When you're going forward, you have to make a U-turn here.
When it's a game that I, like, don't care about in the slightest, I just...
My favorite is when, like, they'll do, like, Imperialis, and you're like, oh, cool, they're re-releasing Imperialis. I hope that they fixed the rules, but no, they didn't.
No. Oh, they fixed this rule, and then they added these 3 more broken ones.
Yeah. They,
sick.
It's like, so what did you do? Oh, you just updated the models. Score.
Well, I mean, arguably updating the models is important for the most important part, which is taking them and going. Well, they were expensive Forge World models before. Now it looks like it's like a plastic box set.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So there you go. That's why they did it. They did it so people would buy a box set.
Yep.
Because box sets sell.
The box sets are the biggest sellers with Games Workshop. No one wants to buy no damn vegetables.
I actually think that there's a reasonable number of people who buy those box sets and assemble them and just leave them in the box and like play it like it's a board game.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who never go past the like I'm playing a board game thing with those box sets.
Well, I know a lot of people that will buy like Shadespire, for example, Underworlds. They'll buy the box set and they have their core set, right? Whatever else have you. They might buy one warband that they like and then they just download the cards off of Warband Builder or whatever you. And then they just cut it out, stick it in the sleeves, and if they want to update their cards, that's how they play.
Yeah.
Because they're not going and playing in any tournament or anything like that. They just want to play with whatever have you. And like that's it. That's all they want to do. So they don't give a shit about buying all the warbands like I do because I'm a monster. Because
you have the itis.
I have the itis. I'm a monster.
The claw hand.
Don't look at me.
It was Lucille. It was a seal named Lucille.
My wife comes downstairs. She turns on the light. She's like, Joe, are you down here? I'm like.
You skin blisters from the light. You grab Ard coat and like slather it on your skin.
I do that anyway.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Puts the Ard coat on its skin.
Puts the Ard coat on its skin or it gets the contrast again.
I'm sitting there painting myself with the contrast.
I'm going to look pretty. Yeah. I'm going to look pretty and highlighted. That movie also doesn't age well.
What, Sons of the Lambs? Yeah. I think Sons of the Lambs ages very well because it's about like contemporary culture of the 1990, like when it was like written. And it's like that's how it encapsulates how society was. So therefore, you could watch it as an encapsulation of like crime and like.
But that logic, everything ages well because everything's an encapsulation of how society was.
I do. Yes, it does. But however, it's like when you try watching it, it works a little bit better because it's like crime and like about deviance and things like that. And like if something considered deviant behavior at the time, it's treated as such, would it lead to. Blah blah blah. It's a little more psychological. It's better than like, you know, a drugged out girl in a 80s comedy getting like sexually molested. Like that's a little.
Well, I mean, we aren't talking better or worse. We're simply talking aging. 80s.
Yeah, aging. Yeah.
Because there's definitely some like
Porky's. All the Porky's.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh God. Oh God. Like,
if you want to talk problematic media, you need to go no further than Revenge of the Nerds.
It's funny because he laughs like that. That's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Dad, why is Revenge of the Nerds funny? Well, he laughs like.
Yeah,
like,
look at him laughing.
Look at him laughing.
Your movie age is great. Street Fighter, the movie. I'm going to get on my boat and drive there and kick Bison's ass so hard, the next Bison is going to feel it.
I am Guile. I am the epitome of Americanism.
I'm really annoyed that they didn't do any effort to give him a poof of his hair. Like, they did no effort.
No, of course not.
This is annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, they made some ridiculous, like, stretch to, like, get Blanca and stuff and, like, get him looking correct and, like, a few other things, but, like, they didn't even try with Guile. This is upsetting.
I mean, I was actually thinking about that. Like, if I was going to write the Street Fighter movie, how would I do it? How would I frame it? Because the way that they framed it, fucking terrible, right?
Well, they made Guile the main character
first,
which is weird. You make Ryu the main character.
I would make it a Ryu Ken thing. This is the way I would do it, right? So it would be about an actual street fighting tournament. It would be about a tournament.
Yeah.
And that it's more about like the fact that every character has like a little subplot of going into it. So think of like a murder mystery almost, where it's like everybody has a reason that they are there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like unfolds as the movie plays out.
Like how they did the first Mortal Kombat movie.
A little bit like they did the first Mortal Kombat.
The only characters they didn't do background for in the first Mortal Kombat movie was the Netherrealm. Well, like you didn't get Scorpion's background, but you got Sonya, Liu Kang, all the mortal realm fighters, you got their background.
Yeah. I would do it a little bit like that. I would definitely have it be I would keep all the casting exactly the same. Maybe like update Ken Ryu a little bit because I don't even remember who played those fuckers.
Some nobodies.
Yeah.
Also Ryu was not Japanese.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's for America, you know, American audiences.
But his name was fucking Ryu.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
Was it ScarJo?
I don't care.
It's just ScarJo.
Yeah. I don't give a crap if he's Japanese or not. I mean, they could have, but I'm not saying he had to be white. I'm just saying I don't give a shit if he's if he's Japanese, Chinese, dirty knees. It's just,
think of things that don't age well.
No,
the,
I mean
the weirdest thing in that movie was when they had when they had Balrog and Honda in the fucking news van, and Balrog, he ruined my boxing career, and Honda's like, yeah, and he ruined my sumo career, and it's like, why is M. Bison going around ruining your very specific careers and how?
It's just, well, so you can easily ruin the sumo career because that's all that's all dirty.
Well, that's true. Although and the best
that boxing is that clean of a sport either.
The best was the interaction with Chun-Li, of course. It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah. Raul Julia, shout out. Fantastic.
Yeah. Let me see what else. I had some other gaming stuff I wanted to talk about. Fuck. I should have taken notes. I really should have, because I'm going to leave and be like, fuck, I was supposed to talk
about
that.
These are all the things I was going to talk about.
I know. I do that to you all the time. I'm just like, God damn it. God. And now you got me thinking about Street Fighter, so I'm all over the fucking place.
Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
Street Fighter, the movie, the game.
The Alien RPG is up for pre-order.
Is it?
Yeah, that's going to be good.
It's the Colonial Marine one, right?
It is. It's Alien, the world. So, like, there's, like, you can play as Marines. It's designed to...
Can I play as a robot?
You can.
As a robot?
You can. It's designed to play either one-shots or, like, loosely linked campaigns because most things will result in TPKs.
Mm.
It looks really good. And all the reviews of people who have played it so far, it is... by far one of the best reviewed RPGs I've ever seen.
What's the system? Do you have any ideas?
It's its own system using D6s, and there's
it's D6.
There's two pools. There's like your dice pool, and then there's a stress pool. So like as bad shit happens, your character gets more stress dice, then when you roll all the dice together, and the stress dice fuck you over, and the success dice do your successes. So like it has mechanics for your character getting like freaking out.
Ooh.
So like if there's men, you know, game over, man. Like,
game over.
So like your character becomes like, you know, all fucked up because you're in, you know, you're in dire straits, so on and so forth, and like that it's pretty cool.
Money for nothing and your chicks for
there
free.
There was two dudes cosplaying as them at fucking some fucking con. Their costumes were fucking perfect. They were perfect. I was just like, that's a really cool costume. But I need to know how old the people in those costumes were, and also how did they get that idea? Like with that length. Like if they're my age, okay, cool, got it. Like I loved that when I was a little kid. Like sure, makes sense. If they're like early 20s. I need details.
Well, I think also with that is, you know, I don't know. It's a
because the video is obscure at this point. It is obscure.
I don't know. I think it's a classic, and plus people Straits are. Mark Knopfler has a dinosaur named after him. There's a Knopflersaurus. You know? I think I've talked about that on the podcast before.
Who's Mark Knopfler?
He's the guitar. He's like the main guy of the Dire Straits.
Hey, that song doesn't age well either.
Yeah, there's some.
There's some language in there.
Problematic language in there.
Problematic language.
I'm being polite about it.
You get so problematic. Good times.
But you get your money for nothing and your chicks for free.
It's true. Yeah. We got to move these colored TVs. They both had big TVs with them as well. It was pretty good.
It's a The fucking guitar. Well, I mean, the guitar riff on most Dire Straits songs are pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's because like, that's the thing. He's an amazing guitarist. Yeah,
yeah. That's like what they're known for is fucking shredding guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah. It's good stuff. Oh, the biggest news, period, Uzumaki.
What the fuck is Uzumaki?
The Junji Ito.
Oh,
Uzumaki. I'm so
fucking...
It's
not a game.
I don't fucking give a shit. That is the thing I'm most excited about.
Oh,
period.
Yeah?
Yeah, I cannot wait to see Uzumaki.
It'll be interesting. I would want to give it a watch.
The director is a Ito was hesitant to do the adaptation because his like the anime collection, the Junji Ito collection, was like mediocre at best. Bad at worst. So he was kind of like, eh. And then he met with the director who wanted to do it, and the dude who's doing this. This is a very cool East-West collaboration, because the director is a huge fan of Ito's work, Japanese dude, but the score is being entirely done by the guy who did the score for Hereditary.
Yep.
Awesome. And so cool.
Very, very neat. And I do, that score is very good.
Yes.
So.
The Hereditary score is great. The fucking meme with Hannibal Buress looking at his hands to the fucking Hereditary, like, the best was Hannibal Buress found someone doing it, and he's like retweeting, and he's like, why'd you do this?
Why are you booing me? I'm not wrong.
Yeah, why are you booing me?
No, it's why are you booing me? I'm right.
I'm right.
I love Hannibal Buress. I've seen him live twice. And, his stand-up is not great, but when he hits, he fucking hits.
I only really seen him from the Eric and Andre show, and he's pretty good in there.
Oh, the Eric Andre show is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that broke the whole Bill Cosby thing. He was like, because, you know, everyone knew Bill Cosby was a rapist, and Hannibal Buress started talking about it, like, in his sketch and in his comedy, and all of a sudden, like, news media started picking it up, and then, like, it went down, and, like, it spiraled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Bill Cosby ended up in jail, because of Hannibal Buress, and Hannibal Buress would be like, like, he didn't realize how big of an impact he would have on that, and he has a great stand-up show on Netflix. Better than Dave Chappelle's latest one, which, let me tell you, not aging well. It was not born well. I was watching. I was like, damn, Dave, you sound old. You sound like an old man. I love you, Dave. I love you, but I can't agree with you on this. Can't say that I didn't laugh at a couple parts, but it did not age well. But Hannibal Buress is when he's like, because he's a local Chicago guy, he's like, I'm just going to do all Chicago jokes. Like, you guys know Tiffany down over at Portillo's?
I do know Tiffany down at Portillo's.
I was laughing at that. I was like, yes, Hannibal Buress, I do know her at Portillo's. Yes, I do.
Give myself a chocolate cake chick.
Oh, I love cake shakes.
They're pretty much. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, I fucking love them. They're a weakness for me. One gaming thing that I did notice that popped up that I was a big fan of is that remember the Joan of Arc game that we had talked about?
Yeah, that game was fucking sick looking.
Yeah, the models have been delivered from the Kickstarter.
Oh, good.
And I was looking at some of them, and I'm just like, fuck, those are nice. It's one of those games that now that I'm old enough and I've been through it a couple times, I realize that I will never, ever fucking play that game ever in my life. But it still doesn't make me jealous of the fucking models.
Oh, yeah. The models are awesome.
The terrain is goddamn fucking gorgeous. It's like Warmaster scaled. So, like, there's castle walls and houses and villages. And I'm just like, this is fucking gorgeous. This is
tasteful eggshell white.
I'm like sweating as I'm looking at it, like dabbing at my head, like, I don't even know what scale it is. It's just beautiful.
Just need it.
It's beautiful. I need this. No, I don't. I don't need it. But the fact that I'm like looking at it, I'm like, I'm texting Dwayne, and I'm like, this game is this is beautiful. I can't help it. The red dragon is like the best part, because it's bigger than Smaug.
Yeah, it's huge.
And it's not even designed to be like, it's supposed to be designed to be bigger than Smaug.
Mm.
And it's fucking unbelievable. I am in awe of the creators of that game. And I hope it does well, because I would love to see them do more stuff. Maybe not for that game, but just to...
In general.
Yeah, in general. Like, if they're able to do that and still be a successful company... Like, put out that quality and still be a successful company, they could do wonders.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most games, like, who would put out shit like that would be bankrupt and then never do anything ever again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the one other gaming thing that I did notice from that era. Actually, I was at Half-Price Books selling some shit, and I came across some Legends of Middle-Earth card game
The old one with the Eye of Sauron on the back?
The Eye of Sauron.
I played the fuck out of that game.
I was actually going to buy you one because they had two starter decks. They had the Nazgul deck and the Wizard deck.
I fucking loved that game.
I was going to pick them up for you, but then they were like $15 for the deck. I was like, fuck that. Fuck that. It was like a starter deck.
I loved that game. That game was really good, and the Decipher Lord of the Rings game was also really good.
Yeah, they also had some old AEG... Legend of the Five Rings starter decks from back in the day.
My Scorpion political deck is undefeatable.
That's a good world. That the world of L5R was a very well thought out,
yeah,
maybe not
cool.
well thought out, but a very fun, fleshed out world
yeah,
that they
cool.
had. I was always a big fan of that, and I'm kind of sad that it's gotten swallowed up by
giving it to Fantasy Flight.
By Fantasy
it's gone
Flight,
now.
It's gone. That very rich texture world.
The heart
world.
Is gone.
Yeah, the heart has been gone out of Rokugan.
Fantasy Flight has devoured it and shat it into a bowl.
However, also, L5R is a very... It's like, we're going to take all this cool Japanese stuff and put it through the biggest white filter we possibly can. And just... It's like a meat grinder. And then like all the sausage comes out. It just says L5R. And it's like...
The sausage did taste pretty good.
It did taste good. It was good sausage, but it was just you didn't want to see the sausage made.
Nope,
that was the
you
problem.
Never want to see the sausage made.
Like, and as a white person looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I could just imagine like a Japanese person looking at it and going like, ew.
Yeah, they'd probably just be.
They
like,
have their
all
own
right.
shit though. That's like Japanese pop culture has way more cool gaming shit. That's
it's
like
also true.
Yeah. And they're like, what's L5R? Like, well, it's this game. It's kind of based on, you know, medieval feudal Japan with...
Romance of the Three Kingdoms? No,
but... They're like, what is this shit?
Yeah, why don't you just do Romance of the Three Kingdoms?
Like, it would be really fun to see, like, a Japanese version of, like, an obscure... Or I shouldn't say obscure. Like, let's say there's a Japanese version of Lord of the Rings that we had no idea about. Like, it's just, like, really popular in Japan.
Gwyn Saga.
But I'm just saying, it's like... But it's very, it's almost like a, just like a bizarre conglomeration of it. But we had no idea what it is, like whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, just like we discover, we're like, yeah, this level 5R thing. And they're like, oh yeah, that's weird. And you know, we got something similar to it. And it's like, we have this thing, it's called Ringi no Maki or some weird thing, whatever. I'm just making up weird Japanese racist things. And then we like watch it and we're like, what the fuck is this? It completely misses the point of whatever's going on. Or they did it of the Hundred Years War. How about that? That's a better one.
The Hundred Years War?
The Hundred Years War, but there's like dragons and... I think
that exists, actually.
It's Japan. They've
sure
done everything
exists.
At this point.
Because there was a lot of what, like... So
yeah, it ran for 30 seasons and there was Happy Meal toys.
Historical fantasy is like huge in Japan. And I think it's always been way bigger in Japan than in the States. Because like... The Romance of the Three Kingdoms and the War of the Roses and things like that. Like, fuck, there was a goddamn Yu-Gi-Oh! Video game that was War of the Roses. So, like, there's a lot of historical fantasy in Japan. I think it was a lot more of a... I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think it's because the country is a lot older. Because, you know, yeah. a lot of older countries.
What you're saying, a 200-year-old country isn't old?
Yeah. A lot
243-year-old country.
A lot of older countries seem to have a lot more historical fantasy affinity. They seem to have a lot more affinity for historical fantasy than the U.S. But
because they actually have history,
right? But like I think Japan might be like specifically the one I could think of the most that has like the most historical fantasy.
Yeah,
content.
Well, they take a lot of historical fantasy from all around the world. Most places will be like Russia loves Russian historical fantasy.
Right.
Poland loves Polish historical
fantasy.
Yeah,
Japan's just like, oh, history? Yeah, sure. Put fucking swords. Put wizards.
Yeah. Speaking of a weird thing, I went to the Revolutionary War reenactment yesterday.
Why?
At Cantini. Because it's actually kind of fun. Because there's just like a lot of old guys playing like soldiers. When you know that the average age of the soldier in the Revolutionary War is like probably 16.
Yeah.
These guys are all in their 60s.
Or they're drunk conscripts that have just been drafted by Washington.
Yeah.
His fucking army of drunks.
But it's actually kind of fun to go to. They have like... They got the camp set up, and like these people, obviously they go out and they camp out and they have fun. So it's like you kind of feel the fun of it when you go there, and they do like cannon and these fat guys who are playing hussar, and like dragoons riding their horses and cutting down stuff, and they're like fat guys too.
It sounds so silly.
And they're like, And here comes Colonel, the guy's on the microphone, he's like, here comes Colonel Taverlin, and he's riding his horse Brago. And I'm like, ah, that's the horse from Lord of the Rings. And the guy in front of me goes, yes, that's Viggo's horse. I go, I know it's Viggo's horse because I made the fucking joke. I'm like, God damn it. Why you got to ruin it? You fucking nerds got to ruin my moment. Yeah. We were watching the reenactment of the battle, which is fun. They had, like, I don't know, probably about 100 guys out there doing it. I know they don't have Revolutionary War reenactments in England because they don't like to reenact the battles that they lost. But they but I was like, I lean over my wife and go, spoiler, Diana, the Continentals win for the 243rd year in a row.
Did you bet against them? I thought they were due. I thought the Redcoats were due.
the Redcoats, the Washington Generals of the Revolutionary War.
The Washington General? Yes.
Yes.
You must think you're after eggs. I only ate one.
Oh, it's fun because you get to see. It's also kind of fun to see. I like Revolutionary War reenactments because it has less of a stigma attached to it than like Civil War reenactments, especially up here in the North.
I saw a tremendous own on social media of some dude trying to do like it was states' rights, and then the dude reply was just like, yeah, states' rights to do what?
That's always what I say too.
It's just like dun-dun-dun. Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. I mean, the more I learned about the Revolutionary War, the less I felt good about it.
Well, I mean,
there's no real winner in that war.
No.
It was a bunch of old rich white slave owners who didn't want to pay their taxes.
Yeah.
And Washington's army was not a bunch of revolutionary freedom fighters. They were a bunch of fucking drunk degenerates that he fucking press ganged into working for him or paid.
I'm okay with that part. The drunk degenerate part, I'm fine with.
I think I'm totally okay with drunk degenerates, but like the fucking American fappery of just like, no, they were fighting for freedom. It's like, nah. No, they weren't. No. That is a lie you've been told since you were a kid.
Yeah, the people in Massachusetts didn't want to pay taxes, which is ironic.
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Aw, man.
And the South didn't want to be called second-class blue bloods, is basically what it was. They wanted to be aristocracy in America.
Yeah.
And that's why that they had what they had. But that's your American list. But it's not as stigmatized. Like, you don't have, like, it's like... We were fighting for the rights to own slaves.
I guess during the Revolution we just had slaves. So
yeah, we just had slaves. It wasn't like we were fighting to keep slaves.
Yeah, we already had them. That's fine.
We already had them, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it's fun to see you get the little boys running around with their little wooden muskets running around.
Dumb. Yeah. Dumb.
They're going, p-chew, 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 and I'm like, but those muskets can only fire about, you know, 3 times a minute, not as fast as that, and the kid just hits me in the head with just
nails you right in the knee. You're like, shut up, old man.
The future is now.
The future is now, and he hits you with a musket. I like it.
Yeah, but they also had food trucks there, so I got to have some pretzels.
How Revolutionary War of them.
Exactly. And I was like, Diana, what if I did this? What if I started doing reenactment? And she goes, first of all, what would you do? And second of all, this tends to become a family affair, so I want nothing to do with it. And I go, I would come dressed as Tyrant King George III, just wandering into camp with the full fucking regalia, with the fucking cape, with the ermine like lining, and the fucking giant crown, and just speaking German and being all crazy because I was whatever disease he had at the time, just fucking going crazy on people. And Diana goes,
well, if he's royalty, inbreeding is usually the disease that they have.
I think that he had porphyria, whatever it is, something like that.
Suspiria?
He had Suspiria. Dong, 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 dong.
I heard the remake was really good.
Yeah, I watched it. It's good. It's not great. It's just okay.
I mean, I didn't think Suspiria was great. I know, yeah. I know horror fans would lambast me for that, but I thought Suspiria was also just okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I would come as the Tyrant King George III into the camp. Just like, let's see them kick me out. I'm historically accurate. Or just come in as George Washington. It's like, I'm George Washington. You have to listen to me. I'm your general. And they're like, but I go, this has to be reenacted exactly. I am General George Washington.
Not enough booze in the world.
Not enough booze in the world to make you do it.
No, not enough booze in the world.
I think you would. I think no. if you were just like, if you're like, Steve, me and you are just going to randomly show up and just like...
I'm not going to say that I would never do any historical reenactment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that because, I mean, I might... you might be able to convince me to do something. There's enough history that you could probably convince me to do something.
I would love for you to go out to the Revolutionary War reenactment dressed as a full samurai gear.
No. Funny, but no. Or no, I would do... I would just be as a World War I doughboy. I'd be like, is this the reenactment?
It is Cantini, so it would be a...
Just like a... I would very much do confused reenactor. Confused. Like showing up to the... Like wait a minute. You guys are... Yeah, and then be like... Be adamant that I'm the only one dressed correctly.
Yeah,
I would... Like, wait, what are you guys doing? That's not the way... The Germans?
What if we came... Well, actually, there were Hessians there.
I know. Right. That's exactly it. Dressed properly.
What if we did the full... What if
we did for the Kaiser.
What if we did the Star Trek gear where we're just like... We beam down to the planet of Redcoats?
Those fucking guys. Those guys are always at the Ren Fair.
Yeah. It's like... We seem to have landed in the middle of the Revolutionary War. Or a planet that... Only follows the Revolutionary War.
It's the Revolutionary War planet. They just have the Revolutionary War every day. Fascinating, Captain.
Or just like in the...
Mr. Spock, report.
I think what also would be good is, and I know you don't like it, but we could get a life-size TARDIS and wheel it out into the middle of the battlefield as the battle's going on, and then just come out of it as the Doctor.
With fucking sonic screwdrivers.
With sonic screwdriver. Yeah.
Oh, I would only be the one that has the really big scarf.
Yeah, exactly. You come out there, you're like, wow, we're in the middle of the Revolutionary War.
Oh, no. Or the DeLorean.
Just
drive the DeLorean
into the middle of the ring.
Just blasting. Dun, 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 dun. Marty, you've got to fuck your mom.
I would love the fact that it's like, and then you hit like three people.
Yeah. Just run them down.
Holy shit, that would be so fucking horrendously funny. It's like to the point where it's like, you're going to be arrested. And you're going to go to jail for probably 6 months to a year.
So worth it.
But it would be so... Like, you'd gain internet fame for at least a month. Just a legend. A legend.
I mean, a month of internet fame makes you a legend.
It's true. At this point, yes, it does. Like remember that time Steve drove a DeLorean into the middle of a Revolutionary War?
The YouTube clips alone.
Oh, my God. Like, we'd have to have, like, people standing there filming it just to get every right angle. So you have to have a GoPro on the car show. Oh, yeah. Driving. Like, we would have to plan this to the T. Like, there'll be cameras in trees. Like, and they're like, wait a minute, how is there so many cameras filming this at this point?
We set it up.
We planned this.
We've been planning this for years.
It's just, we had to get Steve really drunk before he did it, but...
Nice, I'm also drunk.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I like it.
All right, that's good there. So I think we're pretty good. Let's see. Oh, and we're good on time. So go to the Game Classy Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. Best way you can get in contact with us, talk with us, me and Steve, share memes, do whatever have you. You could also like, the best way you could help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. Excuse me. Thank you. You can also like our sister podcast. We have Shin Play on Neo, where Steve and others discuss
video games
and animes and mangas and Japanimation
mostly just video games
and comic books.
We talked about VR last time.
VR Troopers.
It was not VR Troopers, but yes, we are VR.
And you can also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, which is about children's TV shows and how they actually work. In the confines of reality. Shit. So, Steve, until next time.
Everyone should look up the Japanese agricultural mascot, Kurinosuke. He is a cucumber cowboy. He's fucking fantastic.
Is that anything like the Frito Bandito?
Just look at him.
He's like Pickle Rick.
He's a cucumber cowboy. Turn myself into a pickle, Morty.
Game Classy.